Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Our hero has a problem. Like most good stories, the book of Exodus only really gets going when the hero and main character, in this case Moses, encounters a problem, a challenge, a hardship that he has to overcome. Not that the story hasn't been pretty exciting up to this point. Moses has already survived several challenges, actually near-death escapes, being saved from Pharaoh's wrath as a baby, and again fleeing Pharaoh's wrath after he had committed murder as a young adult. Yes, the story has been moving. But now he's facing another challenge, the challenge of a lifetime, and everything will turn on what happens in these next few verses. Moses has settled down, you see, in a region right next door to Egypt called Midian, where he's married and has a family and comfortably working for his father-in-law. More to the point, Moses has settled down just outside of the reach of Pharaoh. And he's happy and comfortable and safe and has all but put Egypt out of his mind. When suddenly, while tending his father-in-law's sheep, he encounters a burning bush that no matter how much it burns, is never consumed. And when he goes over to see what's going on, he is addressed by the God of his ancestors, who announces that he plans to rescue the Israelites and tells Moses that he, the God of his ancestors, has chosen Moses to go back to Egypt to be the hero. The one who leads the Israelites out of slavery to freedom. All which sounds perfectly grand, except for one little thing. Moses does not want to go back to Egypt. You know, the land of Pharaoh. For all he knows, there still might be a price on his head, and beyond all that, he cannot imagine setting foot back in that land that bears so many painful memories. And so our hero has a problem. He tries to solve it through a modest refusal. Who am I, God, to go back to Egypt and bring the Israelites away from Pharaoh? Doesn't work. God says he'll go with him. So then Moses tries something else, and it's really pretty clever, saying, Now, if I come to the Israelites and I say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Now, there's a lot more going on here than meets the eye. In the ancient world, you see, names didn't just identify a person, but actually revealed one's essential character. And so to know someone's name is to have a certain power over them, even to have a particular hold on them. For no matter what he or she says or does, you can reply, hey, you cannot get away with that. I know you. And so when Moses asks for God's name, he's actually making a power play, looking for a little leverage, trying to get a hold on this God. And God will have none of it. What's your name, God? Moses asks, and God replies, I am who I am. I am who I am. What kind of name is that? Well, the name God gives to Moses is actually a verb in the Hebrew, Yahweh. And it has a little bit of a future tense to it, and so you could translate it as, I will be who I will be. In this sense, it is a statement of absolute freedom. God is telling Moses he can't box him in. He can't define him or limit him. I will be who I will be. How you like them apples, Moses? But with this name, God is also telling Moses that you can't really understand God unless you're willing to follow God. You can't discover who God is, that is, while comfortably sitting in the armchair or just reading a book of theology or by tending your father-in-law's sheep. The only way you can really get to know God is to follow God, to get in the game, to go where God sends you and see what happens. "What's your name, God?" Moses asks, and God answers, "I will be who I will be." Or more to the point, "Come and see." Moses, not surprisingly, is not satisfied, and so he makes a few more excuses. The Israelites might not believe him, he doesn't speak very well, he's never been much of a leader. But God doesn't care about any of these excuses, and eventually Moses goes, heading back to Egypt. And after plagues and problems and conflicts and a dramatic nighttime escape and flight across the desert and journey through the parted waters of the Red Sea, all of which we'll get to in the weeks to come, Moses eventually makes it back here to Midian, where it all began. And when he's back, he sings a song to the Israelites who came with him, extolling the virtues of their God. And each time he sings God's name, he uses that verb, Yahweh, the I am who I am and I will be who I will be name. "I will sing to I am," Moses begins, "the one who throws horse and rider into the sea, the one who comes as a mighty warrior to rescue his people. I am," Moses continues, "the one who overthrew Pharaoh's army and redeemed the people of Israel out of love. I am, whose arm is strong and whose love is steadfast, has brought his people out of Egypt in order to plant them in a new land. All of this Yahweh, I am, has done, and Yahweh, I am, is his name." Moses learned, you see, that you know who God is by what God does. Now, jump with me 3,000 years forward to discover that the hero of the Reformation, a young monk named Martin Luther, also has a problem he's trying to solve. Luther's problem is that he has been taught and believes that God is holy and just and powerful and righteous, and so rewards those who are faithful and punishes those who are disobedient. And the problem is that Luther knows that he is neither obedient nor faithful, and so deserves punishment. Luther tries to solve this problem on his own by fasting and prayer and by doing good works and following all the rules of the day so that he can earn God's love and escape God's punishment. But no matter how hard he tries, he manages only to realize just how far he has fallen short. Eventually, though, Luther, like Moses, discovers that the only way you can really get to know God is to follow God and see what God does. And when Luther follows and looks closely, he realizes that God did nothing less than to come to us as Jesus, the one who heals and saves and accepts everyone, the one who is crucified in vulnerability and raised in glory, all to show us just how much God loves us. Now, most of us have a problem too, or make that plural, problems, if we're going to be honest. Maybe your problem is like Moses. It feels like God is sending you to do something you are afraid to do. Or maybe it's more like Luther's, that you have a long-held suspicion that God is angry with you. Or maybe it's something entirely different, that you're at a turning point in your life and you don't know what direction to go, or that you're trying to make a difficult relationship work, or that you're grieving the loss of a loved one, or dealing with disappointment in your career, or struggling with illness or depression, or don't feel valued at home, or find yourself feeling so very alone, or... Thing is, I don't know the problems and challenges you're facing right now, and I don't know how you're trying to solve them. But I do know this, that God is there, eager to come alongside you and be with you and encourage you and help you get through whatever is hard just now. More than that, God wants more for you, more than just survival or getting by or settling for what's in front of you, but instead wants you to flourish and develop and grow. God wants you to become the person you were created to be. In fact, God invites you to be a hero too. Don't worry. Heroes aren't perfect. Moses wasn't, neither was Luther. In fact, each of them fell way short of God's expectations. Each of them made mistakes, let people down, which is part of the point. God is the one, the only one who can save. And this God chose Moses and chose Luther and now chooses you. The thing is, though, that you can't get to know this God by remaining on the sidelines. You can't discover who God is by sitting in an armchair, by reading a book, or by mouthing the right prayers. You can't even get to know God just by singing in the choir or teaching confirmation or even preaching a Reformation Day sermon. The only way you can get to know and trust God is to follow God, to get in the game, to come and see what God has done and is doing and wants to do for you. And when you look, you will discover the God Moses did, the one who saves and rescues us. You'll discover the God Luther did, the one who accepts and loves us just as we are. So what are you waiting for? God is already out ahead of you, inviting you to come along, calling you to the everyday heroism of making a difference, of caring for those around you, of trying to make this world a little bit better. I cannot promise you that it will be easy, but I can promise that God is preparing your way, that God will be with you, that God will not let you fall, that God will bring you through to the other side. And I can also promise that at the end of the day, it will have been worth the journey. So come on, get in the game, answer the call, and discover just who God will be for you. Amen.